And good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to episode 6 of How to Redeem Clifford. I'm Tony Boutros, your host. And today is Monday, December 17th, 2012. And many of our listeners I can see already in the chat room, and the numbers are growing. Just a few announcements. One is I don't have Dean on the line just yet. I've been trying to call him. He's not picking up, but we'll try again in a moment. Maybe he's on the other line talking to someone. But basically, I want to let everybody know that if you wish to ask Dean any questions, there's three ways you can do it. One's on the air, which is probably preferably the best because you get your answers asked and you get feedback, and you can probably, if your question's not answered, you can elaborate on that and get another answer right away. And that's by doing it by calling in at... 646-478-5728, and that number has been posted in the chat room. The call can be made completely free if you use the Skype icon, which can be found on our episode page immediately to the right of the call-in number. So if you go to our episode page for today's episode, you'll see the call-in number there. To the right of that, you'll see the Skype icon. If you click it and follow the online the on-screen prompts, it will become a Skype-to-Skype call, and it's completely free. I usually, when I listen to these radio shows, I ask my questions that way because I get answered right away, and that way if you have any secondary questions, I can ask them at the same time. The second way you can ask questions is by doing it on the chat, and if you do so, please make your question in red bold text, so that will be easier for me to sift through all the chat and be able to find your question. If it's not in red bold text, I'll put it set because I'm going to be busy doing other stuff at the same time, kind of more like multitasking, and I suck at that. The third way of sending any questions is by email, and you can send those to Ask Dean, just the way you write it, Ask Dean at globalfact2012.com. I'll put that on the chat room right now. Ask Dean at globalfact2012.com. I apologize if I sound a little bit nasal. I'm still recovering from that nasty cold that I brought with me from my vacation trip to Cuba, going on day 16, I believe, for me. And it's one heck of a stubborn cold, and I can't seem to shake it. Anyway, I'm going to try now to get Dean on the line, so if you bear with me, I'm going to dial his number and see if we can find him. Okay, I guess our caller does not wish to talk. By the way, if you do call in and just to listen to the show, that's possible as well. If you don't want to ask questions or if you don't want to talk in the air, we will respect your privacy. However, to distinguish yourself from, if you do want to ask questions, I'll have to ask you to press 1 on your dial pad, and that will put a little flag next to your name, which lets me know that you actually do want to ask questions. And I'll be able to filter you out from the other people who are just listening. All right, I'm going to try Dean one more time. Please bear with me. I don't know what's going on. There's a chance we might have to cancel the show, but if we do, that would be a bummer. I mean, cancel this episode, not the show altogether. This is one of our most popular show and seems to be getting the highest rankings on Blog Talk Radio.
Hello.
Hey, Dean. You had me worried. I was just about to shit my pants here.
I was looking down, and I'm like, oh, that's weird. Tony's late again today. And I looked at the phone, and it was like a cord disconnected or something. I looked over, and I realized the dog had pulled the friggin' cord out of the wall probably an hour ago.
Oh. Well, maybe it might be a good idea for you to log on to the episode page. That way you'll know we're on the air. And wait.
Yeah, that I could do. There's always that delay that screws you up, though, whenever I sign on to that, so...
Yeah, but just sign on to it just at the beginning till you see if the show's on or not, and then you can always shut it down, right?
No worries, yep.
Okay, before we get going, it's too bad you missed yesterday's episode with the maker of Thrive.
Oh, I wanted to hear that, actually.
It was an excellent show. You have to listen to the archive. And for our listeners out there tonight, if you weren't on the show last night with Foster Gamble, the maker of the Big Five, you need to go listen to the archive. It was an amazing show. That man, at the age 65, he knows so much. He gave a lot of good information, and I got really inspired. I'm actually thinking of making Global Fact one of the groups that are associated with the Solutions Hub on the ThriveMovement.com website. And he also agreed to come on again in about 4 to 6 months from now with his wife and give us an update of how the Thrive Movement is doing and how many people they've reached. Because according to what he said, his stats on the number of people who are signing up as groups, these are solutions groups, people who are willing to do something, not just to pass on information or educate people, but these are people who are actually willing to take action in order to make a difference in the world. And he said the numbers are growing exponentially, and that's really good news. Anyway, this is a how to with Dean Clifford show, not the Conscious Living show, so let's get back to the business at hand. Today's topic is the pros and cons of decoupling from the system. Dean, the floor is yours.
Oh, lovely. I love when I get just thrown into the wolves like that. Well, this seems to be a big thing that a lot of people are. I see a lot of dissension among people. There's groups of people out there that want to learn everything that there is to know about the person. They want to learn about trust law. They want to read every statute, and they want to know statutes better than the government. And they just want to be able to try to take control of everything, so they can control the person. And there's the other groups that are just kind of, you know what, at this point, I don't even care anymore. You know, because every couple of weeks it's something different. It just sounds like it's a never-ending hamster wheel. I'm fed up. Here, take it all back. I don't want anything, even if I do own it. I don't care. It's yours. Goodbye. And I'll just bid you adieu and go my own way and live my own life. And those are probably... to be honest with you, I think both are very valid. That's why I keep trying to mention to people that there's no one solution to any of this. It's kind of where you want to go with it. I mean, some people may really wish to stick around and dabble in the game a little bit. And I'll give some of my personal opinions on that here coming up in a little bit. But I think the problem with that also... if we're going to play in this game, what people have to realize, I think the entire reason this was developed was just to waste our time anyways. I mean, I've heard it said that, well, you know, even if I did figure things out, like people are talking about me now, third person or whatever, that there's no way I would ever be allowed in whatever they call the back door, or, you know, the special club where, oh, congratulations, you figured it out, and... You know, you walk in the door and everyone pats you on the back and you get your little, you know, I don't know, your smart ring and an unlimited credit card of some type, and, you know, now you're in the old boys club and whatnot. And I actually had a conversation about that a couple of weeks ago with somebody where they were kind of worried I was fucking things up for myself in particular, for ever being allowed, even when and if I do figure out everything right to the very bottom. And I actually kind of thought about that for a couple of days, and I had a little bit of a heart-to-heart with myself, and I've had a bit of a change in my stance on how I want to approach things here in the near future. But if the end goal is to master the person so well that you become part of an old boys club, or you've won your freedom, but you get all these, you have access to an account or something like that, to me, what that tells me is if somebody has the ability to grant you access to an account with unlimited credit or any other thing in it, or you've now achieved a special status where people can't touch you anymore at the airport or whatnot, that just tells me that's still something that can be taken away from you then if it's something that can be approved. And I don't like that. I didn't like the sound of that. So I got thinking about that for a couple of days, and I got thinking, you know what? If there is a back door that you have access to once you figure this all out, I don't care. I don't want that. I think that's rubbish. That just sounds to me like either A, now I'm one of these assholes, or B, it's just something that can be taken away from me. You got to sign non-disclosure agreements, and you can't talk about this publicly, and you can't do this, and you got to remain private, and everybody else is our slaves, kind of thing, right? And the first thing that popped in my mind was the quote there from which president was it? I'm trying to remember which U.S. president it was, about the 5% of people that figure this out will be so enticed by its benefits that they would gladly take part in the system and enslave their fellow man. And it made me feel kind of dirty, actually. And I was like, nah, you know what? If that's the end goal, I don't even want that. That's just awful to me. So that's not really my main goal. It never has been with learning the person. I got no problem learning it for the purpose of navigating commerce, but I don't want any free rides. I want to pay for things myself, and that way I know that if I pay for things myself, no one can tell me what to do with it. If public funds are paying for property or paying for me to live or paying for my car, then it just makes sense to me that the public would then be able to tell me what to do with it if they're the ones funding it. So I don't like any of that. I think a healthy mix there would be the goal for most people. But again, it all depends on what people want to do here.
Dean, when you talk about that exclusive club or the back door, as you talk about, is that what you refer to as decoupling from the system?
Well, actually, no, to be honest with you. I think that's what people believe decoupling from the system is, that they're now part of this group, you know what I mean, where you have your special Freeman card from the City of London. Oh, and that's an actual, like, certificate you get, by the way. You get a certificate of being a Freeman from the Corporation of London when you've been a good slave for a number of years. But I think that's what they want people to strive to achieve. I think it's just another part of the game, another part of the hamster wheel, where they've got you striving to achieve this special status that, you know, like what, am I to believe that once I achieve a certain status and there's a button pushed on a computer somewhere and bam, all of a sudden, okay, credit doesn't exist because I'm a man and unlimited credit, and are you trying to tell me that's not something to just be taken away again? Like, it just sounds like another slave status. Well, you know, now you're one of us, and now you have to take part in the horrors we're doing on this planet if you want to maintain, having free access to credit and all this other nonsense. I don't know. I just got thinking about that for a couple of days. It's like, is that really something that I want to strive for? Because that just sounds like, again, then I'm putting myself into an even smaller cage than I'm in right now, and I didn't like the sound of that. But it got me thinking about where I want to go with all this stuff over the next couple of years, to be honest with you, which is kind of why I'm getting into that. And, I mean, some of the previous shows I've been telling people that, well, just be careful, because if you walk away from the person altogether, you have no standing in their commerce. And that's completely accurate. And I think I might have mentioned that on the show we did just on Wednesday, where I have a friend currently who was in court, who is seeking some kind of a determination that the man is not the same as the person. And the first thing that came out of the judge's mouth was, well, if you're not going to agree to be recognized as a person, I can't help you. I can't help you. You have no remedy in this court. And that's absolutely true. So I think one of the first things people need to do then is start weighing a lot of the things they're looking at right now, a lot of the evidence and a lot of the theories that are out there to do with the person. I mean, I would like to say that I'm 100% correct, but that's not the case. I don't think anybody is 100% correct. I don't even think half the people that created this whole concept of the person even know what the hell's going on. So it is a bit of a trap, and I think people need to weigh their options and before deciding which way they want to go.
Would you say though, if enough people, let's say sometime in the future, if let's say 1/3 of the global population was to reach that status, where then we can exercise the rights, which is to pursuit of happiness, to contract, own property, all those God-given rights that we have, would we need their commerce, or can we not do and live and do business amongst ourselves?
No, and that's the beautiful part. We don't need that system anymore. And I think we've touched briefly on that before in some of these other shows where I've even said myself that I don't even like this commerce game. I don't like the person. I don't like any of this shit. I would just as soon leave and just have something else in place. I don't even know what. I mean, we'd have to build something, but that's that whole allegory there, again, there about, you know, about having another party. Right now they are the only party on the street, and so the first people that want to leave are going to be the first people to tough it out. They're going to be in a pretty boring party with two of them in a room. They're not going to have much until more people leave and come over before it starts being the better party on the street. So, unfortunately, that's why it's always been hard to be the first people to want to strike out and break out of a system and go do something, because the system is designed to make things so easy for you that you don't want to do it. Hello?
Just hold on a sec. Sound check from the our listeners, because you seem to be modulating, and I don't know if it's my connection from when I conference you onto the show, if we're having a bad connection or not. But is it only me, people, or is everybody hearing Dean fade in and out? Can somebody in the chat room tell me if you're hearing Dean? Well, Dean sounds fine. I hear okay. Okay, so it must be my connection. All right, Dean, sorry about that. I just wanted to make sure that it wasn't a system flaw. I guess it's only my connection, so go ahead.
Absolutely, it's all good. Yeah, so I think that's probably one of the things we're going to wind up discussing, even on the site there, over the next, even over the next little while, is people are going to have to start wanting to choose that for themselves. Pros and cons, like I say, cons... For the people that just don't have the time, they don't care to know they don't want to learn all these little nuances. They don't want to learn the tricks of navigating the person or the roles in the person. And I will agree. I think it's an incredible waste of time and resources. It could be better spent doing other things and learning all this nonsense just to be able to correctly pilot something in a system that's booby-trapped right from the get-go. Again, having said that, I was in fact even just having this conversation with another person as early as yesterday, where I just kind of came to the conclusion that it seems over the last 2 years now, I have actually formally assumed every role within the person. And every time I assume a role and try to administrate. Like, I assume the administrator role, then I contact the government, and I'm trying to administrate properly. They don't let you. They just ignore you. And then you contact, and then you're this, and then you're that. It kind of seems like they don't care anyways. Even if you are navigating it properly, they don't care. They just ignore you altogether. And I think it makes for a great case to take to court, because it kind of seems like... I've got them willfully disobeying just about every job they could possibly have with regards to the person. And if that's the case, even if we do learn how to do this properly, if they're simply just not going to live up to their end of the bargain, no matter what you do, how hard you study, and how much you learn, then what is the point? What is the point?
Well, what would you expect them to in the first place? I mean, here we have a corrupt government... who is being puppeteered by a higher-ups who are in the shadows, which would be the shadow government, and who are committing crime on a daily basis. Some of it is so obscene that you don't even want to speak. Expecting them to do the right thing is no different than you going up to the mob and saying, hey, extortion is bad, you shouldn't be doing it. You think they're going to give a shit what you say?
Yeah, well, the only difference with that is you got to understand that even in their legal system, there's still rules that technically speaking are, just can't be broken. They're not
Dean, they
well,
have
I know.
They have judges breaking these rules.
Well, that's just the thing, but I've had these debates with people, but we have seen many judges do the right thing and rule in favor correctly. I mean, how many court cases can we pull out of Queen's Bench, Superior Court, and the federal court where the judge has actually ruled correctly in favor of people, like the case law that I've presented before in the past there, where the courts have acknowledged, well, yeah, of course, no, the government's got nothing to do with interactions between private persons. I mean, the case law is there, so clearly they are making these determinations, and people are winning when they do bring a proper claim against the government. But at what point do you just not care anymore? You realize that you just spent 20 years trying to prove something that somebody already proved 40 years ago, and you got the case law for it. And that's kind of what I've been thinking about the last few days here, and the last week anyways. It's almost got me wondering if we're not just chasing our tails by doing this anyways. So
why don't we focus on this? Why don't we focus on you giving us those pros and cons, because you've obviously been thinking about it.
Yeah.
Give us the pros and cons as you see them, and then after that, maybe we'll have a discussion, hopefully with some participation from the listeners, as to what solutions we have. Because you're right. I mean, it seems to be like a hopeless case. Maybe it's best for us to create our own alternative economy, and screw their economy based on our commerce.
That I would. We've been talking about that with a couple people for a few years now. Actually, we just never thought the day was going to come when enough people would be interested to actually want to pursue that kind of an avenue, which is why we really started studying the other way. To be honest with you, most of what would seem like cons of an alternative economy right now would actually be unbelievable pros within a very short amount of time. It has to do with not watching 3 hours of TV every day seems really unbelievable to somebody who watches a lot of TV, but once you turn it off for a couple of months, you start to actually wonder how you ever could have watched that much TV. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
For the people that are immersed in the system right now, a lot of things that seem like, oh man, you mean I have to start doing this? Like that seems like no, because right now it's this simple. All I got to do is this over here. So it seems like it's something that you wouldn't want to do, but after a couple of months, you may wonder how you ever stayed addicted to the system in the first place after you leave. And yeah, there's all sorts of options out there. That could be a whole other show, is how to build an alternative economy and connect with other groups all over the place and everybody start building and whatnot. So I think these are all just things that people should be considering maybe now over the next little while, which is why I wanted to talk about this. We could spend 3 years doing Global Fact Radio and bringing up all sorts of facts to do with the person and what to do when you go to court and everything else, but doesn't that seem like a bit of a hamster wheel to you sometimes, or Tony?
It sure does.
Yeah, so especially when they're just not going to live up to their end of the bargain anyways.
Well, it seems like if you play their game, you're going to run into a lot of dead ends, and if you don't play their game, you're still going to run into a lot of dead ends. So
yeah.
If you ask me my personal opinion, I'd say, well, me being a purist, I'd say if I'm going to have a hardship either way, I'd rather say screw the system and get out of it.
Yeah, it'd be one of my choosing, exactly.
Yeah.
So we'll see about that. Sometimes I like to play devil's advocate sometimes, too, so I may argue one point all this show today just to get people thinking and then take another stance next week. I just find that amusing, personally. But there are certain things that piss me off that the government is doing. If they're supposed to be trustees and they're supposed to be safeguarding our resources, Harper just signed over one of our largest oil companies to a communist Chinese government that now has the right to sue the government if we do anything to affect its profits. And that was actually what made it a bit of a turning point for me this last week. I just kind of figured, you know what, I've just about had enough of this shit. So now, on top of everything, now I got to deal with our government handing over fucking state assets, strategic assets, I might add as well, to foreign communist governments who have the right to sue us if we damage their profits on our fucking resources. And I don't get a check from any of this anyways. So I've been kind of angry for the last few days. And I think, well, maybe we should get back to the pros and the cons about that then. So,
okay, let's do that. So what would be pro number one of decoupling from the system?
Decoupling from the system. Well, a pro.
Well, for one, you're free. You don't have to answer into them anymore. That's obviously obvious.
Yes and no, because you decouple from the system. Now you're driving down a freeway with a car that has no license plate on it. You have no driver's license. Are you still going to get detained, arrested, thrown in jail, and have your property confiscated? That's not much of a pro at this point.
Okay, now correct me if I'm wrong, I don't know how well you know Robert Menard, but when I heard Robert Menard speak at the Free Thinkers Club here in Vancouver, he told a story of where he was parked on Broadway here in Vancouver and on the side of the road waiting for his buddy who was, I think, was using an ATM machine. And while he was waiting, his engine was running. He had his hands over at the top, over the top, hanging over the top of the steering wheel, as he was cracking open a can of beer. And from Laurel Street, which is the cross street to where he was, and this cop, the Vancouver cop, was kind of pulling up and turning left, looking right at him as he cracks the can of beer open. Now, this is as the same way as Robert Menard told the story, so I can't vouch for it. I'm not saying it happened. You tell me if it's possible or not. The cop comes up, he pulls a Yui, pulls right next to him because obviously there's no spot to park behind him because Robert Menard was already parked, parallel parked on the side of Broadway. So the cop pulls up right next to him, puts on his lights, gets out, and says, "What are you doing? Don't you know it's illegal to have an open can of beer while the engine's running, especially when you're the driver?" And Robert Menard told him something along the lines, "I'm not subject to statutory laws, blah, blah, blah," under, you know, this kind of the same spiel that he would normally give. The cop goes back to his car, punches in his name on his computer, reads it, and Robert Menard says that he was laughing as he saw the officer's jaw drop open. Next thing that happens is the officer gets out of the car, comes over to the driver's side of Robert Menard's car and says to him, "Mr. Menard, the Vancouver Police Department would like to advise you that it is unsafe to drive and drink," or something along those lines. "Have a nice day," and walked away. When Robert Menard was asked why was that, Robert said, "Well, because he has documented a letter from the Attorney General declaring Robert Menard being a sovereign citizen, not subject to statutory laws." There you go.
Yep.
So if we established that same status, is that what you're advising against? And would it not free us from that headache we would face if we were on the freeway and get pulled over?
Yeah. Well, that's just it, is getting everybody to a level where they can actually make that argument, right? And then this just being a constant issue. But what seems to be happening now as well is they don't want everybody leaving the system. They were probably okay with one or two back in the day, but they seem to be fighting an awful lot harder now because they realize they're going to have nobody left if we all leave.
But
that's
isn't
one of the
that,
other problems.
But isn't that in our favor, though?
Absolutely.
We've got the numbers. They can't stop us if we want to leave.
No, they can't stop us. And
exactly.
That's actually probably why I've been getting a lot of stories recently. Like, there was one posted on my Facebook page even just yesterday and today that somebody, I believe it was here in Canada, them and their neighbor, both got a letter in the mail within days of one another from a very large collection company telling them that they were forgiving 85% of their debt just for no reason, out of the blue. And I'd start laughing. I said, yeah, because they realized that getting 15% as opposed to zero is still 15%. Because a lot of people are just now just not caring anymore, right? Just, you know, writing, you know, FU on these notices and sending it back. They're having a lot of problems with all this kind of stuff. So cons to everybody leaving, okay. So not that I'm a big fan of drinking and driving in the first place. Let's look at a con of everybody leaving the system and us having a bunch of dumbasses out there that don't understand natural law and don't understand that they have to be responsible for their actions. Somebody else sent me to a video the other day where a cop, I'm not sure, probably down in the United States, was following somebody who was driving clearly very drunk on the freeways and pulled the guy over. And as soon as the cop got out of his car, this guy got out and started screaming and yelling at the cop, telling him he's a free man, he's a sovereign, he doesn't have to put up with this cop shit, he can drive drunk all he wants and the cop can go fuck himself kind of thing. And I was actually shocked by the level of self-control that this police officer maintained. But I was actually sitting there thinking, I hope he beats this guy to within an inch of his life. This is exactly the kind of idiots that we don't need. This is proof of what would happen if everybody could just say, no, I'm not obeying statutes anymore, and just didn't. Right? Do I want 1,000 guys like that on the highways?
No, but see, but at the same, you know, I don't agree with what that guy did either, but at the same token, since under common law, you haven't really broken the law until you've caused property damage to property or person. So if the guy is driving drunk and he hasn't hurt anybody yet, has he really broken the law?
And I would actually, I would have to say that in a society of people that come together where you're supposed to be, I would say protected to a minimum degree, having somebody slammed drunk driving down the highway, weaving all over the place, is absolutely something that I see. This is where it's almost hypocritical to say this. I would want that individual removed from the road.
Okay, then if you're driving next to him on the highway and you see him weaving in and out, and obviously he's drunk, another part of common law says that someone has to actually file a complaint against you. Is that correct?
Yeah, you're just a danger. You're actually a public danger at this point.
Okay, so then if you file a complaint against this guy, you call 911 and say there's a guy driving in front of me, he seems to be pissed out of his mind, and then the police pulls him over, then you did file a complaint. You're a concerned citizen, you're concerned for your life, you think he's endangering your life because he's driving in front of you, you can't seem to want to take the risk to pass him, so then you have every right to call and file a complaint against him, which in that case he has broken the law because you filed the complaint. He's impeding on your right, on your freedom to drive on that highway.
Yeah, I would say that should never even have to wait, though, for somebody to file a complaint. I would say that if a peace officer actually witnesses this happening, he should, by all rights, pull somebody like that over and make sure that they are not out on the highways. Again, people that cannot govern, that the individual is clearly not governing themselves. They're out driving drunk on the highway. They're going to kill a family. They're going to kill somebody. It's not the same as me, say, driving 110 kilometers an hour in a 100 zone. Oh, you're now a risk. You drove 10 kilometers over what we think is generally accepted as safe. Oh, you're now a menace to the roads. I think it's pretty generally accepted that people should not be driving drunk and weaving all over the highway. So this is why I try to say, like, there's pros and cons on both sides here, because if we wanted to just leave and be gone and laws don't apply to us anymore and we're all diplomatic immunity, there are too many idiots out there, Tony. There really are. There really does have to be some checks and balances in the system. I think there's too many idiots. It's our fault. Like, I mean, it's 80 years of diseducation, actually probably making people dumber than they were when they were born. So I don't think it's something that can be achieved overnight. This is why I try to say I'm really stuck on which way I would like to see things go over the next couple of years. I really think that I almost don't want there to be it's either this or it's that. Like, we're all leaving or we're all just going to put up with the shit that's going on. There's got to be something more down the middle here because both extremes are undesirable. Does that make sense?
It makes sense, but I've heard you say before that you feel that if a person does achieve that sovereignty, they're probably going to be a lot more responsible because they're not protected by the system anymore.
Yeah.
Because
okay.
The system, like if you look at the judicial system, it seems to protect the criminals a lot more than the victims.
Oh, there's no question.
Okay.
Let me elaborate on what I meant by, you know, you're out the back door, you're free kind of thing. It's not the you're out the back door, you're free kind of idea, I think, that we usually talk about where, okay, we recognize that you're sovereign, you're free, you're not subject to statutes, but, you know, because we understand you're responsible enough to look after yourself. I mean, the ultimate goal for a lot of the people in the movement here where they want to be able to navigate the person is to become one of these people that has, like, the unlimited credit card from the Treasury direct account and just get anything you ask for paid for, and it's you have the red diplomatic passport of some type where, you know, you get military escorted through the airports kind of shit. Because this is, like, the ultimate goal for a lot of people in this movement. Apparently.
I see.
And that's not what I consider being free. I think that's just another cage. What I mean by free is literally that I'm free to enjoy the fruits of my labor. I'm free to do as I please. And that's actually, believe it or not, that's actually more middle ground, the kind of thing that I'm talking about, because that's actually just the way things are actually supposed to be. And if they're not going to acknowledge these existent rights and freedoms and our right to be left alone and self-determined, but still answerable to society, then we're going to go completely the other way, and we're going to want to just be completely gone and out there, which means that we don't even answer to society. We don't even take part in society. We're just building our own now at this point. So there's actually, it turns out not to be quite as simple as just I'm out or I'm in. There's
okay.
A lot of gray area in there. It almost sounds confusing, but it's
it is
but
very
not.
Confusing. It is very
yeah.
confusing. I still stand behind what I said earlier, and that's just my personal opinion, Dean. Is if I had to choose between best of two evils, I would choose out. Because I know myself. I know I'm responsible. I'm not going to be like that jerk on the highway driving drunk, totally intoxicated.
Yeah.
I know that I'm going to be more responsible. If a person like that decided to be sovereign, completely free of the system, and does that, then maybe his punishment is to be put back in the system. I don't know. I mean,
yeah.
Maybe being sovereign or being free is something. I don't know. I mean, you're right. It is a bit hard. I mean, it is a bit unfair. How do you decide who gets to have those privileges and who doesn't?
There you go. Now you're starting to understand the kind of the gray area where it's okay, well, it's not all just cut and dry, you know what I mean?
But somebody in the chat room suggested the police should stop another car for help to witness the drunk driver.
Well, so one cop is now going to pull over two cars. I mean, it wasn't a scenario I was trying to give where we should come up with a specific solution. It's just more so meant to make you think like, yeah, like that there are a lot of people out there that just are not responsible enough. So that actually brings us back to, and believe it or not, we actually are covering pros and cons right now without actually just listing them. It seems that like books like the Law of Nations and stuff like that and governments and all these organizations are more likely to recognize a new nation of some type than they are just an individual man's sovereignty. It's almost like they want people to form their own groups that are kind of self-governing, where at least the rest of the people in the group are going to hold people, their own members accountable, you know, like, say, the Law Society or Freemasons or these other groups that are all just societies of their own. Because it's actually not a problem to get a new nation recognized in the international community of nations, which is why I think it's far more feasible if a group of people left and drafted their own new charter on how they were going to govern themselves and then gave kind of public notice of that, I guess, if you want to say to the rest of the international community that, yeah, we agree to live by, you know, what is considered generally accepted international law. You know, we can't kill our own people, we can't do any of these things, and we agree that we're going to, govern ourselves in accordance with, you know, what's generally acceptable. That seems to be, like, something that's very readily accepted, instead of just one man kind of wanting to strike off on his own and go do his own thing and deal in gold and silver and build a log fort out in the middle of a grassy field somewhere. So, I'm just kind of throwing this stuff out there. So,
okay.
So there's pros to that. Is kind of where I was headed with that. There's pros to that because now you got something that other people can join. Instead of emulating you, they're actually joining it. Like if there was a charter that people had to pledge to that guaranteed people that we weren't going to screw around the same way that say the government does. We're not going to recognize persons within our system. You're a man. The fruits of your labors are yours, this, that, everything else. You agree to live by certain terms and conditions when you're part of our society. Or if you break the rules and you want to drink and drive, you're out. We pull your citizenship from our society, and then you're back into the default setting of Canada, and you enjoy your going back to slave status. I don't know. There's any number of possibilities, but that's certainly a pro. that's certainly a pro when you're talking something like that.
Okay. There's a question from the chat room that says, and I guess this is about the, it could tie into the pros and cons of having a driver's license or not. This gentleman wants to know, how could he maintain his job without a driver's license since it is required for him to have it for his job?
And that's exactly it. So there's the pros and the cons again. If you're, like, say, a long-distance truck driver, and you decide that you want to go down this path, and you just want to fire all everything back to the government. Here, you're not living up to your end of the bargain. Take your birth certificate. Take your driver's license. Take everything. Well, you're probably not going to be a truck driver anymore. So you either have something else to go to, or what I was talking about a year ago is that people when it comes to the capacity thing. And don't get me wrong, a lot of this works. Like they're starting to lose quite consistently in the courts now when people are walking in there and saying, you know, you can have a driver's license, but you're not operating under it at the time. You may have a social insurance number, but you have the option of using that or the option of not using it. It's just something you have that you use for certain purposes at a certain time, and then you don't use it at certain other times. And for the people that can get that all straight in their head, that doesn't seem to be much of a problem either. So you can do that. I firmly believe you should be able to keep all this ID and use it when it benefits you, and then just not be using it when you want to operate in a different capacity. Actually, to prove that, I think there was just a post on my Facebook page yesterday, the day before, where somebody sent me a little blurb that asked me to explain what happened, and they'd gone into court, I guess, and when the judge called the matter, he stood up and said, well, I'm here for that matter, but in what capacity did you want me here? And the judge said, well, what do you mean by that? And the guy said, well, I wear a lot of different hats. He said, which hat do you want me to wear here today? Or something to that effect. It was right along those lines, though, and then the next words out of the judge's mouth were, get out of my courtroom right now.
Huh.
As soon as you understand the scam, they don't want you in there no more. They know that they're worried about being able to bullshit you.
Okay. Well, back to that scenario with the drunk driver. There's another one in the chat that kind of seems to think kind of my way. And this person says, if someone drives drunk, this is John. John Enns. He says, if someone drives drunk, in my opinion, they are violating everyone's right to be safe, which is true. Which, and under common law, you're entitled to your pursuit of happiness and be living free as long as it doesn't hinder someone else's chances to be happy, free, and pursuit of happiness, I guess. If someone's in front of me on the freeway driving drunk, they are impeding on my rights to be safe on that highway. I have every right to call the police or 911 and say, this guy needs to be dealt with. So I still think that would be a better way to go, because being in the system, in my opinion, has a lot more cons than pros. Unless you are Dean Clifford, and you know how to navigate in the system.
Now, that is correct. There are a lot more cons than pros.
Okay.
But
now, Dean, how many people do you think they're going to master the concept of navigating within the system as well as you do?
Well, and I would far from call myself a master either. It's unlikely, and it's, like I say, it's a waste in time and energy. If every man, woman, and child on this planet had to spend 10 to 15 years or even 20 years of their life learning about all this horse shit just to be able to access what is their rights or their freedoms, it's an incredible waste of energy that could be better spent on this planet. So clearly that aspect of it just does not work. If they want us to be more responsible, then why don't they teach us this in school, kindergarten through grade 12, instead of teaching us absolute shit that makes sure that we are completely uneducated and unable to think for ourselves by the time we're 18 years old?
Oh, my God, don't get me started on that. I mean, I was having this big argument with somebody the other day. I said, you know, about 30% of what we learn in school is actually useful. The rest is a bunch of junk.
Oh, my God, I think you're being generous, Tony.
Well, maybe I am being generous. If this stuff that we're learning from people like you, or like from some of the seminars I've been to, like I don't know if you've heard of T. Harv Eker, but I went to one of his seminars, the Millionaire Mind Intensive, and I said, oh my God, if they taught this stuff in university, or even, you know, even secondary school, people there'd be no poverty in this world. People would know how to manage their money, they'd know how to invest their money, and people wouldn't be in such financial distress all the time. None of the stuff I learned at that one weekend, Millionaire Mind Intensive, I never heard of those strategies before, ever in my life.
No. Well, that's just it. Could you imagine if they taught money management, rights, and just basic philosophy on things surrounding, like, you know, the golden rule, you know, do no harm and whatnot. If they covered that stuff even a little bit throughout school by the time you turn 18, you would have an educated public that doesn't need to be babysat, and you wouldn't have to have half of this shit. I mean, what the hell did we do 60 years ago when there was no licenses or any of this stuff? How did society function? Well, people were an awful lot more responsible back then. There's no doubt about that. I mean, geez, just go to a bar on a Friday night anywhere in Canada, and you tell me that even 5% of the people that are in that bar are capable of higher functioning and an ability to govern themselves in a way that they're very unlikely to harm somebody else by their actions.
Agreed. Now, we have a caller that wants to ask a question. Caller, I don't see your phone number on here, but it's the person that calls himself Sin Graves. Are you there? Hello? Caller?
Yeah.
Okay, what's your name, please?
My name is Derek. Dean knows me.
Okay. Hey, how's it going, Derek?
Not too bad, Derek.
Okay, Derek, I guess you have a question, Dean?
Yeah, I do, but unfortunately, I'm not sure if it would fall under what he was talking today, so.
That's okay. Fire away anyway.
Okay, so little bit about me there, Dean. You know I'm going through that family shit, right?
Yep.
So I wanted to know if you knew any way that was successful on overriding or superseding the authority of a mother when she's misinformed or not informed of what she is really doing.
Yeah, well, again, the mother, you ever notice how and this is not intended to be an insult towards women, but the first place that the woman runs to when there's a problem in the marriage is back to the state, right? Right to the state. So they're trying to use either the Marriage Act or other state stuff against you, and I mean that's some of the first stuff we covered back in the day, even going back to with my brother there in a family court. The family court's got no authority to be dictating anything in these matters. You don't have to consent to it. You don't have to do anything. But there's actually a lot of biblical quotes surrounding that as well about the birthright following the father.
Yes,
and we both know which laws are higher. So I mean, if you're going to go into court and defend yourself regarding that, or you got problems with the government department, feel free to bring up that kind of stuff. I don't know.
See, I was going through the court process, I can't speak today, can I? But I was going through the courts because she threatened me with trespass if I ever went near her again, right? So
yep.
I was kind of, you know, stumped with, like, what do I really do, right? If I go on there, cops are going to be called, going to be thrown in jail, and I'm going to have a bigger headache. So I was talking to another man. He goes with P, and he says that it's all about the status and it's all about what title you have over your child. So
absolutely.
If you can elaborate. Oh, and I failed to mention, I apologize, but my name wasn't on the birth record. She purposely withheld that, and she purposely kept me off the name because she did not want me to have any claim on the child, and she knew I was into this legal shit.
Yeah, which means you need the records updated to show you on there as the birth father, which a court order could accomplish through family court, and family court would be the place you want to take that, because actually family court is one of the only two courts left that actually will hear ecclesiastical law.
Yes, I agree.
They'll
and
hear
I agree
everything.
Completely. If you're putting your name on a birth record, it's an uncomplicated, complex, and it matters heavily in a procedure matter. So therefore, you can bring in a motion in order to have that done. And if the mother or the other parent refuses to put their name on there, then you can simply order causes against her.
Well, of course, the court can order that the record be corrected. It's got nothing to do with her at that point. So that'd be the first place you'd want to start, of course.
Exactly. But you cannot do that until after you do a case conference. The only time that you can put in a motion before a case conference is an urgent or an emergency matter, such as, you know, they're taking the child outside the jurisdiction of the province or...
Which is an emergency, yeah.
Exactly.
Okay, well, you know, you've got my Skype. I'm not in there much anymore, but if you want to I'll give you a look up on there later tonight. Give me a text about that.
I don't have your number, so you're on Skype right now, and I am too. So just send me your text number.
Yeah, I think I'm pretty sure I still see you on there. I got you anyways. I'll send you a message here.
Okay, go on.
All right, dude.
Thanks, Derek. Okay, now, Dean, the gentleman that asked the first question about the driver's license, it was Sean O'Donovan, and someone gave him a suggestion of what to say in the event if he was pulled over without a driver's license. Now, Sean wants to confirm with you if that's something that would be viable to say.
Yeah, I'm reading that now. It says, is what James Vary says, what I say if I get pulled over when not operating under the government driver's license.
Yeah. And that's the paragraph in red above.
Yeah, and then we'll get back to the pros and cons kind of thing. But we did cover this actually in one of the previous radio shows we did, where what you want to do is you want to establish a whole bunch of facts right away. When they pull you over, you can just say, when they ask for the driver's license, you say, well, yes, I possess one, but I'm not operating under it right now. And it's not mine. It's actually the property of the province. Are they asking for it back? Say things like that, and then you can say, well, I'm not performing any function of government right now, so I don't see why the license is necessary. Are you claiming that I'm performing a function of government? Do I look like an agent or officer of the government? And all you have to do is get them to agree with you that obviously you're not, or if they're claiming you are an officer or agent of the government, you say, well, what function of government are you claiming I'm performing right now to make that claim? They've got to prove this claim up. What function am I performing? And especially when dealing with the RCMP, this stuff is all recorded. But try to have your phone there and record it yourself as well. Right? That's the first thing that I had my brother do one of the first times he was pulled over was he asked the cop, he says, do I look like a government agent? The cop's like, well, no. Do I look like I'm in uniform? Do I look like I'm on duty performing some function of government? You know, what are you asking for a driver's license for? So that really buggers them up. It removes a lot of that presumption we talked about in one of the previous episodes. So anyways, back to, okay, he remembers that now. Okay, good, yeah. Sometimes all you have to go back and listen.
And so, balance one, yeah, normally we do have a Q&A period in the second hour, which basically starts as a panel. But we've been having kind of like an open format today. We're kind of more relaxed about it today because it seems to be a topic that, it's not so cut and dry like Dean said. There's a lot of gray areas there. So if you have questions, go ahead and post them, and we'll cover them as we go along.
Yeah, it is. That's actually the reason I wanted to talk about that today is the leaving the system versus staying in the system kind of thing. Those are two very, very opposite ends of the spectrum, and I just kind of wanted people to realize just how very hard that would be to draw a line that says, I'm out. Is it possible for you to leave the system, quotation marks, let's just say that there is the system, and have no interaction of any kind with anything to do with the government ever again? Is that even possible?
Well, in the case of the gentleman who's a truck driver, a long-distance truck driver, obviously he's not traveling on the road under common law as his right to travel. What he's doing, he's engaged in commercial operation. So he would have to have a permit to do something that otherwise would be considered illegal, which is in this case is a driver's license, right?
Yes, profiting from the highways.
Okay, but the question is this. Could a person who's completely out of the system, who decided to leave the system, still possess a driver's license for the sake of doing his job?
Now, here's my argument to that. you have every right to use the highways for commercial purposes and to benefit from the highways because you pay gasoline taxes every time you fill up a tank of gas. Okay? I do not hold to the idea that as soon as you're engaged in commerce and being paid to drive something on the highways, you have no right to do that. I think that's complete horse crap. The roads are maintained by gasoline taxes. When you fill up your semi, you're paying $100-something in gasoline taxes. So that's not really the issue. I believe you do. Again, government can only regulate government, period. Private commerce, nope. Case law says that. Interactions between private entities. If I have something I need transported and I pay somebody to do it and he takes it to you, what does that have to do with the government? Nothing. Which means that can't be regulated either.
Okay, but what if this guy, in order to have his job, his employer demands that he have it?
Now that's the difference, because a lot of these transport companies, again, they all exist within this system where they're licensed, and they are terrified of having their license pulled because they don't know any other way. Everybody knows you have to have a driver's license, right? Like, we're so brainwashed. That's why I say, like, to have something else in place, it sounds like a 20-year goal where we really do need a whole generation of people to grow up just accepting the fact that we don't need these ass clowns, right? And we can just go our own way and be just fine, and there's still going to be law and order. In fact, there's probably going to be more law and order. I'd say short term, I see a lot more pros in the system. I honestly have to say that, because I don't think a lot of people are simply ready to be responsible enough to self-govern. Although I would agree with you that we probably are better off anyways. Like I don't think the system is that much of a benefit. I'm not willing to put up with what's going on right now for the perceived benefits of our society.
Let me do a quick market survey here, if you allow me, Dean, okay?
Please.
We've got right now roughly about 49-50 people on the chat room, and probably a lot more who are on their mobile devices, which will not be visible to me here on the system. So I'm assuming usually we get about 90 people who are listening to the show live. To those people out there listening to the show, I want to ask you this. If you have one of those jobs that depends, that forces you to stay in the system, if you're given the opportunity to opt out of the system, and we're given an alternate economy you can participate in, which you can create a living out of, so that you don't have to do the job you're doing right now, which forces you to stay in the system, would you A, stay in the system because you want to do your job, or B, opt out of the system and participate in this alternate economy, or C, tell me to go to hell? A, B, or C, which one is it going to be? Let's see what everybody says. Go to hell. Okay, there's one guy. Go to hell.
Yep, it is awesome.
Opt out. B, opt out. I be trolling. Opt out. I don't get what responsible is saying, but anyway, okay. James says A. Okay, James, tell us why you'd want to stay in the system for your job if you're given an opportunity to participate in an alternative economy that will provide you a livelihood and free you without being dependent on your employer and the system. You need another choice. You only have two extremes.
Yeah, see, that's kind of what I was saying. Like neither one actually appeals to me. The extreme of us all just leaving and just going our own way is about as unappealing as doing what I'm told by the government for the rest of life and having them not live up to their duties and responsibilities. There's got to be some middle ground there.
Okay, why don't we do this then as a little something to have fun with. Why don't you guys, our listeners, think of what would be a better survey, a poll, let's say. If you think my options are too extremes, okay, fine. What do you guys think of a poll? And we'll post the poll on the Global Fact group over this week and discuss the results of it next Monday, on next Monday's show. Okay, so you guys think of what should the poll be? What should the options be? All right, Dean, let's go back to the pros and cons.
Perfect. Actually, there's some pros, because people are talking about that. There's a couple of pros that are mentioned there about staying in the system. Again, all the resources, everything that's been pledged to the government, all the electricity being generated, all the oil, the tar sands, everything, it's all being managed by the government. If you just walked away from everything, you kind of almost have no claim to that anymore, because it's already been pledged to them, and they're supposed to be managing it for your benefit, even though it's debatable whether or not that actually takes place or not. But one of the pros is the government is managing all these resources, and they're kind of looking after a lot of that stuff for us. International trade, all those kind of things. I won't get into the United Nations and all that kind of stuff, because clearly government's not obeying its mandate there either, because we're one of five countries on this planet that voted against the Palestinians having their own recognized state. Canada, yeah, we're the freest country in the world. Our government is awesome, and they voted against people who are being murdered being recognized and having their own state. So that was another thing recently that, you know, within the last month or so that's happened, that just made me realize, yeah, you know what, these people really are just, now on top of them just voting to not allow people who are being driven from their homeland to be recognized as a state, now they're giving away our oil assets to the Chinese and the right to sue if we interfere in the profits of the Chinese government. We don't have any Canadians that could take over this oil company and run it. Okay, so it's there's no question it's out of control government. That's actually a con of just leaving. This is ours. Okay, you don't abandon a ship that you own because it's full of a bunch of assholes right now. That just tells me it's time to get a big stick out and start beating the assholes until they stop being assholes. So that's one of my cons with leaving, is it's like, well, leave what? This is ours. So, and that gets back to, are we going to have the ability to actually take control of things again now, or have things just gotten so bad they're not going to recognize our claims anyways?
So are you, just to get this clear, are you saying that if someone was to leave the system, they'd have no right as Canadian to the resources within Canada?
Well, I'd say you would, but if you have no person to be recognized through by the government, how do you make a claim to any of it?
Well, how did people before 1937 or 1933, whenever the Social Insurance Act came into play, which made us the person, how did they have claim to those resources then?
You know, that's actually something we're studying. I mean, and that gets back to where we used to talk about how back then people used to just go stake a claim, a gold claim, you know what I mean? And as long as they paid, I think it was a royalty, right? They could pull whatever they wanted out of the ground as long as they pay a royalty. And then everybody gets a share. The way it's supposed to work is that royalty goes into the general revenue, it pays for whatever. But that's not the way that works anymore. I think I just posted a thing on my Facebook page the other day about how some monstrous mining company here in North America pays no royalties at all. The government doesn't even know what this company is pulling up out of the ground, which means it's just 100% pure profit for a corporation. And no royalties being paid that are going to the benefit of the people. So why are we paying income taxes? Why are we paying property taxes when these corporations are pulling shit out of the ground and stripping the earth dry and not paying any royalties at all? That's the complete opposite of the way this is supposed to be working.
Okay, but Dean, prior to 1930, we had this common law system, right? 1930 is when they introduced the birth certificate and the social insurance number or security or social insurance act. So it seems to me like the sovereign system or the common law system was there all along, and then they overlaid on top of it this new system that was they called, quote unquote, their commerce system, their admiralty law system.
Yep.
So it seems to me that that new system you put on top is nothing but an overlay. You peel that off, then what do you got left?
You got the original system that was there in the first place.
Exactly.
And that is true because there was a judge that recently admitted in one of my friend's court cases that that my friend would have to take his matter to a common law court. And my friend said, I didn't know there was any of those left. And the judge said, yes, there is. You have to take it there. And when he tried to ask where it was, he wouldn't speak about that at all. He just kind of carried on with the hearing they were having. That's all he wanted to talk about it. He can't tell you where it is, but he can tell you it's still there.
Okay, so then this is nothing. This is no different than you being at a costume party with a mask on. You know, nobody sees your real face. All they see is the mask you have on. So it seems to me that this Admiralty Law system they have overlaid on top of the old system was nothing, it was just a cover-up.
There we go. Okay. So now we should get into clarifying what we mean by leaving the system, because when people... That's where I was going with all this, by the way. you don't have there's nothing to leave because
it's
everything that we need is actually there. It's still there. There's just nobody manning any posts. Nobody realizes this whole great thing is there for us to use if we simply go back to it.
Okay, then instead of saying leave, then how about we say as peel that layer, the overlay that they put on us, that peel that off.
Yeah.
That costs you. That system that they subjugated us to.
Okay.
Okay, because somehow by them tricking us into our parents to signing a birth certificate and us, when we turn 16, signing a social application for a social insurance card, they kind of forced us or tricked us into being subject to this overlay that they put on top of the old system.
There we go. Okay. Now, I was reading the board here, a lot of people are talking about Canadian versus citizen, citizen versus Canadian, citizenship and inhabitant are two different things, and they're missing the one key word when it comes to the Income Tax Act. Ah, and someone just pulled it out there, non-resident. Okay? It's my understanding and my belief that a resident and a citizen are two different things. And I've said this before, a resident of Canada is not a citizen of Canada. That's how they strip you of your citizenship, and they make you an officer or an agent of a foreign corporation because you now exist in the res of that corporation. You are a resident of the corporation. You're no longer a citizen of the country. So that's a big point. This now goes back to the pros of learning to wield the person properly, because if you go and correct the records and become a non-resident and you learn how to use the person properly, and they do in fact start doing their job the way these things are supposed to go, there's any number of interesting situations that could play out in that instance. So I think that's the purpose of today, is I want people to think about what they want to actually do here, because you got to remember, anybody listening tonight, especially from Canada, you're the people I'm going to be working with over the next number of years, where we all work together if we want to change things, if we want to create something new, whatever we want to do. But there's got to be some consensus on what people want to do.
Okay, Dean, we got another caller who wants to ask questions. Caller with... number ending 1809, please give us your name.
My name's Chad. Hi, guys.
Hi, Chad. How are you doing tonight?
I'm well, thanks. Glad to hear you're back on the show, Tony.
Great. Thank you. Go ahead and shoot your question.
I just wanted to chime in on this debate with leaving the system or not. Dean said it right before, I think, and how much better would your life be without income taxes? So my personal stance would be to stay in the system, function within it, but change some of the major things in it, like income taxes.
I would agree. I've always maintained those are my two biggest things. If we did away with income taxes, which I consider to be just absolutely an abysmal attack on someone anyways, and you get rid of property taxes, which means that you now enjoy the fruits of your labor by 100%. It's your choice where you go and spend all that. and you can't be kicked out of your home simply for not paying a tax on something you already own, which means you're not forced to go work just to make money to pay taxes you should not pay in the first place. That changes a lot. I disagree. It's a responsible thing that doesn't change the system. Absolutely, that changes the system. That is all. That unbelievably changes the odds of the game. So,
Dean, have we passed? Oh, go ahead.
Okay, just one sec, Chad. Dean, I'm 100% with you there on the income tax, but on the property tax, property tax, it does not fall under the definition of excise tax, tax on a thing. And that's legal tax, is it not?
Well, I would say no. I'm sure they want you to think it is, but again, by what authority does somebody simply come along and say, I have the right to tax you simply because you own something?
Sounds like a good racket to me.
Yeah, that's why I disagree with that.
I agree with you because I think tax on a thing would be something that you're buying at the time, but if owning property is your constitutional right, your God-given right, and if our definition of ownership is having full control, therefore, if you should have full control, then you shouldn't be taxing something you have full control of.
Yes.
Okay, gotcha. Go ahead, Chad, sorry.
Just one more question, guys, and I'll stop hogging the airways here. So, Dean, do you think that the system, the political system we have right now, is too far gone to overhaul or change so that it is acceptable for most people? Because one common thread between most Canadians I would find is their issue with income taxes, even the rate, not even just paying them, just the high rate.
Yeah. There's a very large part of me that wants to say that, these clowns have to go. There has to be a new system of government put in, period. But there's no way you can have a system that operates the way people think that freedom works, where there's... how do you fund a government where people are, you know, where they're supposed to have peace officers out there protecting people and whatnot, with people contributing nothing to society whatsoever? So there's obviously a way to make this work, but to be honest with you, I'm not comfortable with a corporation that was put in charge of that that's got a charter from a foreign nation that does not have our best interests at heart. There needs to be a constitution drafted by the people of this land that creates a new government that is basically confined to the rules and regulations that are developed by the people, actually. And what's interesting is Iceland just did that. That's why you don't hear anything about Iceland in the news anymore, because after they deposed their government during that whole banker bailout thing, most of the old government's in jail, as well as the bankers, and the people drafted a whole new constitution and created a whole new government. And now that country is doing fantastic. They're terrified of people learning that we have the right to do that. Isn't that what the Statute of Westminster is? Go and govern yourselves, create your own charters if you want to. Well, we didn't. So they
Thanks,
created
I'm going to listen offline.
Okay.
Thank you, Chad. Okay, since we are in the second hour, Dean, I guess we should take more questions.
Let's take more questions.
Okay. So first question here is, where is it? Do you have a plan in process or idea to work together and reach the goal to change the system, Dean?
Absolutely. Yeah, I've been working on it for 2 years. More so, actually.
I think also what we're introducing in January is going to be something along that line too, isn't it, Dean?
Yeah. Well, and again, see, if we all want to go do something, it makes far more sense to all go do something together. And if we're all going to go do something together, maybe we should all talk about what it is we want to go do together. Does that make sense?
Okay. I just want to answer Balance here. Balance, if you want to call in, you're more than welcome. Actually, I prefer people to call in. It's easier for me to manage the switchboard than it is to kind of do both, manage the switchboard and the chat room at the same time. So if you want to call in and ask your questions, you're more than welcome. Also, calling in has an advantage because if we go over the two-hour mark, people in the chat room will no longer hear the live stream, but if you called in, you'll still continue to hear the show just like normal. Okay, let's see. Contract law. We fine for contracts For contracts to be valid under the common law, there must be certainty of terms. And an essential element, all law is commerce, is it not? All commerce is contract, is it not? This is asked by James.
What was the first one? All law is commerce?
That's what he says.
No, I would disagree with that. All law is there is law that is commerce, but there's also law that is not commerce. Again, like laws that are not commerce are when a society comes together and says, okay, this is how we want to govern our actions. We don't like it when people do this. So we all agree that we're going to live by a couple of these rules here where these are some things that we don't do just because we think it's very destructive for society. There's no commerce taking place there. They just don't want anybody in their group doing something that's against what their moral values are, if you want to call it that. The second types of laws would be, a second type of laws. A third type of laws would be commerce, because the first type of laws are laws that I don't care how much you don't like them, you cannot will them away. For instance, if people believe that what the government passes is laws, then the government should pass a law tomorrow that gets rid of the law of gravity. Just overrides it. Nope, law of gravity is no longer in force or effect, we just override that. And you can be the first one to go jump off a building. That's a law. That's not commercial. The law of gravity is not commerce. It's just generally accepted when you jump off a building, you will plummet to your death. So there's no commerce taking place there, unless the commerce taking place is your spirit going back to the to your creator. I don't know if that's a commercial action. Maybe it is, but
okay.
So no. What was the second part of that one?
The second part of that one. All commerce is contract, is it not?
Absolutely. There's no other reason to engage in commerce unless it's by contract. So that's why I say there's nothing really wrong with the commerce game. We're just dabbling in something we don't really understand. And we don't understand when we're walking into the courtroom that every time we assume one role, they're assuming all the other ones. We get lost, and then they know how to beat on us from every role because we're just not experienced with it.
Okay, Mitzi asks, she wants me to ask you if you read The Company of Adventurers, written by the Toronto Star editor, that explains the history of the Hudson Bay Company, how it was a commercial government before the Canadian government took over.
I haven't read that, and it's interesting because I do know a little bit about that, about the multiple different companies that existed here in Canada that had different land holdings. And the Hudson's Bay Company was one of them. And then when Canada was created as a new holding company, it actually took lands from all these different holding companies, the Hudson's Bay Company being one of them, and just conglomerated everything into one giant land holding company, because there was a bunch of different lands that were governed by different corporations here before, and it was all by Crown Grant. So the Grant just decided to basically take all the land grants instead of having a bunch of different little land grants governed by different corporations like the Hudson's Bay Corporation. They just put everything into one giant land grant that was what became Canada. So that's I would like to read that because it sounds like an interesting read, and it's like nice to see people actually printing information like that out there. So that's what took place. And I think that's actually a very good fundamental argument when you're going to fight property taxes, by the way, that if all this land is a grant from the Crown, and the Crown's got grant, the Crown has the authority then to tax the property because it was granted by them. Remember we talked grantor before, Tony? The grantor has the authority to place conditions on something?
That's true.
Well, exactly how did the Crown get to be the grantor? Can I see the bill of sale from the Indians or from God? If you don't have one, then your claim is bullshit. They'll never produce that because it's all nonsense. It's all false claims. As soon as you make one claim to the contrary, that doesn't hold water at all.
Okay, so follow up to Responsible's original question about if you have a plan about changing things. He says, "How can we join or help?" I think what me and Dean are going to introduce in January would be a good way to start for you to participate in that program we're going to be introducing, which I think you guys are going to love it. But Dean might have different ideas. Dean, if you want to...
Well, no, that's one of them, absolutely. And this is kind of one of why I want to know what direction people want to go, because why start teaching courses that is not in the direction people want to go? So that's why I want to sit and think about this over the holidays now, based on what people get back to us with.
And good feedback would be, I guess, the answer to that poll we're going to be monitoring over the week until next Monday. Okay, we do have a caller that wants to ask a question.
Yep.
Caller by the name of Macaroni, I guess, 11. Your name, please. Caller, you there?
Yeah, can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you now. What's your name?
Okay, perfect. Mark.
Hey, Mark, how are you doing tonight?
Good, how are you guys doing?
We're doing great. Go ahead.
Good. I actually just had a quick comment about what you guys were talking about before, and then a question later. You're just talking about earlier the difference between stepping out of the system or going. What I was seeing is one extreme or the other, and Dean was saying himself that, you know, there's got to be a middle road or a middle ground that's got to be the best way of doing it. And so far, my experience in the field has been where you get people start looking at too small a picture and fear starts to override your decision making, and then you start to see a smaller and smaller picture, and then you think you've only got, you know, one or two options, and usually those are extremes. And so I guess my comment is more around, you know, Dean or anybody not being too sure about what the course of action is, when really what we're doing right now and coming together and sharing solutions and difficulties is, you know, it's happening. It's part of it. I know I wouldn't be undertaking some of the legal stand-ups for myself that I have been had I not started this process a couple years ago and started listening to people like Dean and, you know, coming out with new concepts all the time. Everybody's got their own processes and their own solutions, so... and then the other part of it, my question was around, I was listening to one of the talk shows, I think it was Angela's, and there was somebody talking about a gentleman taking, partway through his court case, he held a court of record. I'm not sure if he initiated at the beginning or whether he initiated it partway through in order to sort of gain control of the court. I was just wondering if Dean had heard of anybody successfully doing that or if he had ever done it himself.
Well, I've done that. I've got some stories about that. I think they're even on a couple radio interviews. But let me add about the ad first. The stuff you said before leading up to your question is absolutely correct. I don't see it as just being one or the other.
Yep.
There's a different path there, and we got to figure that one out. We got to take that one. Because it's not the solution any more than the totalitarian. Us all leaving and going about our own business is no more a solution than having a totalitarian fascist government. Now that I got that out, they're both extremes. They're both undesirable because nothing gets done if everybody's just off doing their own thing. So then the other question there. There's a few different answers I can make for that. Again, I think that the biggest point to that is this. They're all courts of record. I mean, they keep a record at every single one of these. But the difference is who's convening the court. So
yes.
When you're convening a court of record, that's a little bit different. And what's more important than the fact that you're saying it's a court of record is it's the fact that you're convening it now. By your authority, you're convening it. Right? That's
yeah.
A little bit different because now somebody of some real substance has convened a court. Somebody actually has authority to convene a court has actually done it. And that's why they never convene courts when you go to one. It's always just, court's now in session. Really? It's in session? When was it convened? It never is. They're all kangaroo courts. They're all fake until you actually convene one.
And is that closely linked to accepting a judge's oath so that you can basically make it the session between you and the... prosecutor or the other attorney?
Yeah, but specify which oath. There's a number of them. I remember back in the day, that was the newest big thing out about 8 years ago. Oh, I accept his oath or get a copy of his oath or whatever, right? Judges have multiple oaths the same way that cops do. So just accepting his oath does nothing. You might be accepting his oath to Canada, the Crown and Right of Canada, Her Majesty and Right of Canada, which is not a good oath that you want him bound by, because he can do anything he wants under that oath to you. Now, they do have, that judge does have an oath to Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth, though. That is one of them. That's his highest oath. And Queen Elizabeth, well, isn't she supposed to be protecting the people of this land?
Yes, I see.
That's supposed to be her ultimate role, right? She swore an oath in the Bible, didn't she?
So if you were to then wield that person in your favor or with enough clout in the courtroom to enable yourself to be heard, you would want to then wield it in that situation where you're asking for the queen to be the protector and his oath in turn to the queen.
Well, you're not asking. That was a pledge she made. She made an oath.
Oh, okay. So you're holding her to her pledge.
You're holding her to her oath, and you're holding him to that oath,
to her,
which he has a duty to protect, right? That would be a more proper way of doing that. I did one of those times I was in jail there last year, last November. Man, it's been more than a year with not one jail time. That's pretty good. That was my first appearance before one of the judges. They brought me out there, and that was the one where I said, look, you guys may think this is amusing, and all of you are free to chuckle as much as you want. I said, but while you're forcing me to take part in your little arbitrary tribunal here, I said, I'm holding my own court. And I'm convening a court of Her Majesty, Queen Elizabeth II. And everything you people say or do here, you are liable for. I said, now having said that, I have harmed no man and I've broken no agreement. Who claims otherwise? And I looked at the judge, and he was trying to look busy elsewhere. And then he looked up at me and he goes, I got nothing to do with this. Talk to the Crown. He wanted no part of this. And then I looked at the Crown and I said, you, Crown, and I had his name. I said, are you claiming anything? Are you claiming otherwise? No. He said, speak up, I can't hear you. No. You know, with his head hanging down like somebody just punched him in the gut.
Yeah.
Well, suddenly nobody wanted any part of this. Well, why not? If this is a court, why don't you want any part of this now, huh?
I see.
Right? But they still held me for 20 days because they panicked and the judge, I'm scheduling a show cause hearing for tomorrow morning. Bam. He runs out of the room. So they just did that to me for the next 7 appearances.
Wow.
So, but you know what? But honestly, if you stick to that, I don't think hopefully you're not in a position where you're actually in ankle shackles and wrist shackles when you have to pull that card out. And that's probably overkill for a traffic ticket, which is the other problem. People want to walk in, they want to do this stuff over a traffic ticket. They want to pull out a neutron bomb.
Yeah.
Like, holy shit, man, there's easier ways to settle a traffic ticket. You don't need to start pulling out Queen Elizabeth's friggin' oath. So.
Yeah, my understanding of it was kind of a last, it would be a fairly big step to go from walking in the court and subjecting yourself to everything to then pulling that card out.
Yeah. So I guess that was the whole point of that, is you want to be careful that, number one, the most important part there is that you're convening the court. Then the important part is, who is convening court? And the third would be, what court are you convening? Those are three biggies. This is who I am, and I'm convening this type of court. That's a little bit more serious. That's more deadly. Now there's nothing left to interpretation, right?
Yeah.
Okay, that's where I would go with that.
Cool. Excellent. Thank you for your help.
Okay, Mark, thank you.
You betcha.
All right, Dean, the next question is, a gentleman who's been waiting patiently. It's Sean O'Donovan again. I would like to know how not to pay income tax. Now, I personally cannot think of anybody who would not want to know the answer to that question. So, Dean, after you answer this one, how about we make a show on this one next week?
Yeah, okay.
Okay, so why don't you answer this one quickly now, because I don't think Sean is going to want to wait till next week, but give him an answer, and then how about we make this a topic for next week?
Okay, the quickest answer on how to not pay income taxes is don't file income taxes. Number one, never file. Never. You are under no obligation to file an income tax return. Now, that doesn't help for the people that have had deductions from their paycheck all year. So it's not as simple as an answer as you would think. I just had somebody email me today that said that they approached their company saying, I want you to stop deductions. The president of some division got back to him and said, no, we will not stop deductions. And that is, this is the only attention I will give this matter. That's the only answer you're going to get. So that's an uphill battle if you're going to fight one of these corporations on income tax deductions, because all they do is they send a letter off to CRA, or CRA sends a letter back to the company saying, no, you must file and pay taxes and have a social insurance number if you want to work in Canada. And that comes down to the residency thing again and your improper social insurance number application form, where you incorrectly identified yourself as a resident of Canada. So, you work for yourself? Perfect. Stop filing. You're under no obligation to, and we can maybe discuss on other shows what you do when they assess you. They really need that original assessment from you. They need you to assess yourself. It is a voluntary tax. You don't have to pay it. But they really coerce you and try to force you and really scare you. Oh, we'll charge you with this. We'll charge you with that. Well, good. Go ahead. See if I care. It's the fear. But once they have your signature on that document, that's a contract. That's a lot of trouble. That's a lot harder to get out of now. And that gives them the authority to reassess you at will.
Now, wasn't there a precedent to this similar thing where a gentleman from Kelowna who worked for the Kelowna school board district, he asked the school board district to stop withholding the taxes off his check. They contacted Revenue Canada, and Revenue Canada said, no, you must. If you don't, we'll come after you guys. So the school board district decided to put his withholdings in a trust account and told him, go fight with Revenue Canada. Whoever wins gets the money in the trust account. I think the outcome of the court case was that he did win.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Are you aware of that case?
I'm not. And if somebody can find that and send it to me, I think that would be beautiful, because I've told people for a long time, and I still believe it to be correct, even though I have no facts or evidence to back this, that all that money that Revenue Canada collects is all owed back to you if you never really were ever required to pay income taxes and you paid income taxes by mistake, believing that you did owe the money. And there's a maxim of law surrounding that, and I can't quote it right now because my brain's a little dead, but that is a maxim of law somewhere, that if you pay an amount due by mistake, that you believed that this amount of money was correct, but it turns out it's not, you're owed that back. But if you pay a debt knowing that it's not correct or that you really don't owe the money, then you're not owed that back.
Okay. Law 35 is operating commercially in the natural law domain. Is that what the government considers the gray market or black market?
Oh, geez, I have no idea. Say it again.
Is operating commercially in the natural law domain. Is that what governments consider as the gray market / black market?
Good God. You know what? I really don't know. Maybe it is what they consider the black market. Or maybe they consider the black market to be something that is within their scope of jurisdiction, but people hide it from them and conceal it from them. So, because that could be either way. Because technically, if it's not within their jurisdiction, they can't see it, period. They're not supposed to see it. It doesn't exist to them. That would make it black market.
Okay, same person asks, in one of the past episodes, you mentioned that there are three powers, levels of law. My screen just scrolled. I hate when that happens. Okay. Block 35, if you can retype that question, because my screen just scrolled down to the bottom and I can't seem to go back up to your question. I'm sorry about that. Okay, I'm going to move on now to the questions from the emails. Okay, this is from Mika Sui Juris. I've been doing something similar to what you are doing in Oregon. Where does the military occupation labor code fit in with all this, in your opinion?
Say that last part again.
Where does the military occupation / labor code fit in with all of this, in your opinion?
That would be the postal code, I'm assuming they're talking about.
I guess.
you know what? That would be a fantastic
sorry,
bit of research to find that out. I've asked that same question to government officials. I do know that, especially up here in Canada, if you shrink down the name of your province to the two capital letters that we were taught to do in school, I remember they switched us over in about grade 4 or 5. I remember them actually teaching us, oh, we don't spell the provinces out anymore. We just initial them with a capital M and a capital B for Manitoba. No, that's wrong, actually. That's now the wrong province. See, they started doing this about 30 years ago. They started brainwashing us. And there has to be a postal code attached to it when you abbreviate the province in the capital letters. There has to be a postal code. But there does not have to be a postal code when you spell the province properly, because that is the proper province. I think there is a lot of merit to that. I personally actually don't know where to send people to do more research on that. It's something I never really covered a whole lot. I just generally accepted, yeah, that makes sense, okay. They're trying to get us into the wrong jurisdiction, even through just the mail system, just to, again, to allude to things, to give something the appearance of something, that make it look like it's something it's not. I spell out the province now. The post office usually completes the postal code anyways when you go somewhere, so I just put it in now, but I put it in brackets. So, just to get around all that, I don't care no more, I don't give a shit. I'm not going to fight with the post office, I'll just put it in brackets or in a box, that way they still get the postal code, but it's in a box, so it takes it off of the document anyways, and I just get around all that. But it would be interesting to find out what that really all means. If it actually routes everything through Washington, D.C., which it probably does, to be honest. Nick, you got this Syndra here who really wants to get on there and ask something, too, by the way. For Tony, hello.
Yeah, I'm here, sorry.
Syndra,
I know you said you want to get on the mic. I'm not sure which one are you, because I have a few callers on the switchboard. You have to understand that unless you raise your hand, I think you only want to listen. So if you want to ask questions, you need to press 1 on your dial pad, and that will put a little flag next to your name, allowing me, the host, to know that you wish to speak to either the guest or the host, or to ask questions. If you don't press 1, then I assume you're just listening on the air, and I'll let you be. Cinder, are you the one that goes by the name Sandatan? Is that you? Your mic is live, by the way. Sandatan, are you there? Derek Hill. I don't see Derek Hill. Oh, Derek, there you are. Hold on a second. Derek Singh, all right. Is this you?
Hello?
Derek, is this you?
Yeah, it is.
Okay, got you now. All right, go ahead.
I just wanted to share some people my experiences of what I've done there, because they had a lot of questions. Hopefully I can clarify them better than what Dean did. Sorry, Dean, I don't mean to jack your store. If people wanted to avoid taxation altogether, to avoid a headache, what they could do is they can file out a CIT 0302 form, which is the renunciation of the Canadian citizenship. After that, what you need to do is you need to put in a declaration of eligibility for benefits under a tax treaty for a partnership with non-resident partners. It's form NR302-10E, the CRA form. And taxes can only be filed by an administrator of the person who is controlled by the Ministry of Finance. So therefore, the person is not yours to be controlled by. And the Minister of Finance said this again and again and again, and so did the Bank of Canada. So therefore, you cannot sign this because you do not have the power or authority of the Treasury Board or the Secretary of Canada. So therefore, you are never supposed to sign it in the first place. Second of all, once you fill out those forms, CRA cannot come to bug you unless you actively declare that you've made income inside of Canada. And also, they will have the final slip. You can also request an entire refund of all the taxes that you paid for by filling out T5 slip forms. Even though you are a non-resident, you can still use your person's name to fill out certain types of documents or certain types of forms.
Absolutely, that's what the person is for.
Exactly. You know, P, Dean, you know what I mean by P, right? Okay,
say it again.
G Do you know what I mean by Pete? Like the person named Pete?
Oh, yes.
Anyways, he gave me words of wisdom that I think it is fantastic. The person is meant to be used for two things. One, to send it in for collection, and two, to be used as a middleman. It's an instrument to interact between different jurisdictions. That's why they gave it to you. Regarding the property taxes...
But I keep telling people, so do we learn to use it, or do we get just because they're either concealing things, they're not living up to their end of the bargain when we do figure it out?
Yes, I agree.
It all depends on how, like I say, there's so many ways to go with that. I don't know where you want to go with that now, Tony.
it's interesting because for the first one I told people that, you know, it could be used for sending in collections. What happens when people go bankrupt is they have to file a form of bankruptcy. And what happens is the certificate is then forfeited or canceled out and is sent to the Bank of Canada's settlement and clearance house. And so after that, for the next 7 years, guess who controls your credit? CRA. CRA is the administrator for the financial minister, and the finance minister has control over all the shares, which is the Bank of Canada.
Because it was pledged to them, and it's irrevocable for X number of years, yeah. And that's
exactly
the whole...
Exactly.
That's all the government's doing is its administrative law, which is why I told people to read up with that. Read up on that. If you want to know how to administrate, read the administrative law book, because that's 90% of what the government does is administrative law. And that's 90% of what the costs in government are administrating.
Yes. Also, it's important to know that if you're a non-resident, you don't reside inside of Canada. But there is different Canadas. It's just
inside Canada, because the one Canada is a political, commercial zone.
Democratic Canada.
There
and
you go.
The other one, not too many people know about this, but the Republic of Canada is still alive and going.
The Dominion, of course. I've actually spoken about that on about 4 separate episodes so far.
Mm-hmm.
There's a difference between the democracy and what we would call in Canada the Commonwealth.
Yeah.
Or the Republic. It's still there. It's the province. It's the original province. But
yes.
You left and you pledged yourself to a federal democracy.
You resided. Sided,
yes.
Resided. You recited into other Canada. So
that's what being a resident is. Now you're part of the res. All this kind of stuff. Again,
yeah.
How much do... So...
Yeah. The another point that people kept bringing up is for the property tax. Property tax, like what Dean said the other day there, is that, you know, it could be as simple as just getting them on the definition of fee simple. For me, example, I've done it with a lot of friends of myself that's in BC and Manitoba and Saskatchewan. Not in Manitoba yet, but in Ontario. All you have to do is just simply ask them, what do you mean by fee simple? Now, this is what happened on the latest one. The city responded saying that, you know, that they strongly urge you to seek legal advice and also to consult with the land registries. So, what did I do, or what did my friend do? He actually did that. He went to a lawyer. He asked, I need you to give me your interpretation of what you think fee simple is. Me and a friend of mine is having an argument about this. I'll pay you $100, you can prep something within the hour. He did, and it was the right definition. It was free from condition and absolute. The same thing he did was with the land registry. So he got both letters, and he sent it back to the city of where he resided. The city responded saying that the parcel was still subjected under the act. And so therefore, what he responded with is just simply, okay, fine. But since you're claiming that this is under an act, you must have some sort of authority over this title. Therefore, it's under assumption that you have the title. I rebut your claim, and I put in the claim that you do not have title for this. If you do, please respond to it. They didn't respond to it. So what he did is he followed it up, He says, since you haven't responded to it and that you have no claim or stake of interest within this parcel, then I demand you to remove the tax roll number from this and send in the right form. They respond back saying, we can't send you the form, but we'll remove it for you.
Well, yeah, because they're administrating. Only they have the administrative authority to do that in the first place. You just have to tell them to do it.
Exactly.
The tax roll number is an account number. Who opened the account?
Not you.
I didn't authorize this account.
No.
Please close this immediately or send me a copy of the application form where I asked you to open me a tax account. Close it immediately. And not only that, while we're on the topic, what's your standing with regards to this property? Yeah, we went through that on one of the previous episodes there, Tony. It's all the same shit. It's usually actually very easy to catch them in their lies and their bullshit because everything they're doing is off presumption, which we covered on the show about presumptions and smashing presumptions.
I'm going to have to jump in here, guys, because we're down to our last 9 minutes. We've got a lot of questions to go. Derek, thank you very much for contributing. Okay, moving on here. Let's see. So, Blah 35 retyped this question, and thanks for doing that, Blah. It says, Dean was talking about administrative law the other day in context of saying there were three main types of law. I've heard Brandon Adams of CIC talk about this, basically. Basically, what are the magnitudes of law?
Yeah, well, because the public laws, again, administrative law, constitutional and criminal law would be the other two. There's administrative law, constitutional law, and then criminal law. And those are all different jurisdictions. So, but administrative law over the last number of years, I read a big paper on this, has really, really taken over as the main form of law practice today. And that's where they just go ahead and they just administrate everything based on presumptions, allegedly for the purpose of streamlining things, which is why you are the one that has to come back and say, whoa, hey, whoa. You're administrating based on presumptions right now. Like you just automatically attach a tax account number to my property. You just automatically do this. You just automatically do that. You're administrating all these things. And stop it. Stop. We shouldn't have to go along and fix all this shit that they're administrating against us by presumption. But apparently we do right now. And that's actually what led me to about a year ago to start sending them notices that I was revoking their administrative authority. And I said, fuck off already, guys. Quit trying to administrate all this shit against me. You're going to keep doing that? I'm going to revoke your administrative authority. They did it again. Okay, bam, administrative authority gone. You don't have it anymore. If I can grant it to you, I can take it away. So, and that's had some interesting results that I'm not really going to get into at this point in time, but there's no question that administrative law is probably about 80 to 90% of what is practiced today. So that's a real big one going on. That's why government has gotten so expansive. We ask them to administrate everything, right? Our insurance policies, healthcare cards, everything. Every time we file paper with the government, they're administrating things. And they got people in offices and organizations and shit, whole office towers full of people doing useless shit that we've authorized them to do. So that's part of the problem as well. That's something we should probably talk about in another show also.
Okay, next question is from Bruce Nelson.
I got to get going after this last one.
Okay. What do you think of the concept of recording a notice of our living will for the estate in a gazette or public forum to give credibility and make a claim as a record, much like the Roman cult does, to establish their existing... Oh, this is a little blurred here. Records. Their existing records.
Say that first part again.
What do you think of the concept of recording a notice of our living will for the estate in a gazette or public forum to give credibility and make a claim as a record, much like the Roman cult does, to establish their existing records?
I can give... there's things I like about that and things I don't like about that. Number one, you've made it a matter of public record now, but then that defeats the purpose of a trust. If you're trying to make the will public, then you're exposing the grantor and sole beneficiary to to the public is never supposed to do. That's almost a violation of the trust rules. The whole purpose of a trust is created for the protection of the grantor and the beneficiary of the trust. So you definitely want to create a will, a living will, absolutely. But then I would suggest keeping it private, right? Because government's supposed to be the gateway from public to private there. You're supposed to be contacting government through your person and then contacting the government. And I would say that should be private. And then from there, government does everything out in the public. And they're supposed to be like a firewall between the public and then you. That's the way that's supposed to work, I believe. So I wouldn't want to go around just posting a will publicly out there in the public records. Sending it by registered mail and keeping receipts of everything and even having a notary acceptor or notarial presentment of your will to the government, that would be a way to do that. As long as you got a record they were served with it, that's all you need. I don't think you need to go to the expense of starting to throw wills out into the public. I think that's an incorrect approach people would want to take.
Okay. Well, I think the question of balance one. No, I don't know who Mike Montagne is. That's how you say his name. Dean, do you know who that person is?
No.
Okay. And I don't have the time to give you balance one on the air to tell us about this. Maybe next episode. We are down to our last 2 minutes here. Dean, so are we okay then for making the topic for next episode as being how to stop paying taxes?
Yeah, let's go ahead and do that.
All right. Well, I'll make it official. I'll put that up on the Global Facts fan page, and you guys can start sending me your questions. Now, somebody earlier asked, what's the poll that we're talking about? Well, see, earlier segment of tonight's show, I put a little quick poll out there whether people would rather to A, opt out of the system and participate in an alternative economy so that they don't have to depend on the system, or B, stay within the system, or C, tell me to go to hell. I think C was more of a joke, and somebody decided to pick that one. Thank you very much. But Dean and a few others said that's a little bit too extreme. There should be other options there. So here's what I'm going to do. And please listen to this to me carefully here. I'm going to put that poll on the Global Fact group, not the fan page, on the group page. And I'm going to pin it so it stays at the top of the page. If you're not a member of the Global Fact group, I suggest you join. I'll post the link for the group now on the chat room. And here it is. Now, I'm going to leave the poll open so that anybody can add options, additional options to that. So I'll put those two options, A and B, and then you guys add what you think is needed to make this poll more realistic. Does that sound fair to you, Dean?
I believe so.
Okay. Now, the results of that poll will be tabulated and compiled, and we'll discuss the results at the next episode, next Monday. And then Dean will know, based on those results, what general direction that people want to go, then we can tailor the school or the courses that we're going to put out in the new year based on that. That's what you're saying before, Dean, right?
Yep.
Okay. So that pretty much. So we're down to our last 90 seconds. So to all our listeners, thank you for participating and for listening in again. Dean, thank you once again for doing such a great job.
Yeah, it's all good. We got our website up and running now, too, for anybody who wants to come along there and check things out and join the forum anytime, too, deanclifford.info, where we're just going to try to get information out to people as best as possible, just to disseminate things here to help everybody along and see if we can't get some more input from people the same way we're trying to do right now with your poll on where people want to go with this.
Okay.
It's your life. You want to be in the driver's seat, so let's figure out where we're going with all this. So there you go, deanclifford.info.
Sounds good to me. Okay, I'm going to close down the show with our theme song, which is Revolution by the Beatles. At the end of the song, I'll be shutting down everything. So thank you all for listening, and see you next Monday.
All right, have a good night, everybody.